All right, looks like we're back. My screen kind of jumped a little bit, and then it was like back. So welcome everyone or anyone who is watching, and tonight we are talking with Paul and
Janine.
Okay, I wasn't sure how to pronounce it.
That's okay.
From Cornerstone Supernatural. And Malcolm and Linda, and you've got it as Suede Dogs, so that's your group.
We're a singing duo, but we work with Cornerstone Supernatural. We're part of that group too.
Awesome. So, for the people that don't know you, what got you started and interested in the paranormal? And we can start with Linda and work our way across the screen.
Oh my God. Growing up, I lived in three different haunted houses, very, very haunted houses, and had experiences. Crazy the fact that literally every house I moved into, and they weren't following me. We just moved into haunted houses. And then once my daughter moved out, her first house was haunted as well. So just kind of the luck of the draw, right? What do you think, honey?
It sounds that way.
Yeah.
For me, I grew up in my family. My mom's side always would talk about it, and we were very religious. Brought up in.
I don't know you.
Moved out. Her first house.
Growing up, I see things and apparitions and ghosts. I used to see this old man sit at the end of my bed every night, in the middle of the night. And other weird things would happen. And I was told by the church they were demons. And I finally, in my late 20s, said that, I think God's more powerful and is not behind every bush. So I started exploring and finding out there's another story.
Cool.
And for me, I mean, it's like a twofold thing is, you know, growing up as a kid, your basement was always the weirdest and creepiest part of your home. And mine was no different. It was always a feeling of something dark and being down there. And I never until later on in life, when I started talking to my cousins that used to come over and we started talking about the paranormal and things like that. And they said that they felt the same things in the same house, but we just didn't talk about it back then. Later on in life, once my dad passed at my mom's, I was visiting my mom and she was saying that there was a man in white overalls right behind her. And my father was in painting and decorating for all his life, and he had the clean coveralls on and everything else like that, but that wasn't my dad because his coveralls were always dirty as a painter. But that for me until some 30 odd years ago when I came out here and met Janine. So
I was very fortunate to be born into a family that experiences a lot of different things. So when I first saw my first ghost that I can remember when I was 10, and I went running and sort of told mom and dad, they didn't think I was crazy. And they, as I grew older, they shared more and more of what they had experienced in life. So that's kind of what led me down this pathway.
That's pretty cool. So how long have you guys been doing this?
We just within our whole team. I mean, we had mentioned that earlier, but you know, we've got a big team, but we came together from different areas, from different groups. Either there was, people didn't like the way people were investigating or treating customers, or just internal drama, so to speak. And so we came together about 3 years ago, and Janine and I started the group because we wanted something as a solid foundation, i.e. Cornerstone, and to build off of that. And we were very fortunate that we were able to draw on different individuals to come in and join. It's been an exciting roller coaster for the last little while. Linda and Malcolm, we've known him for about a year and a half, I think, maybe two. And they were two individuals that absolutely we wanted to have them part of our group and part of our team. And when they came investigating with us, the wealth of knowledge that these, you could do a show just with those two. Mm-hmm. From all of their experience, they've been worldwide, they've done castles, they've done the Devil's Chair, they're involved in UFOs, they could mention names and do things that's off the charts. We've gotten people in our group that have started out from, they, you know, they're just starting out in the paranormal. They're learning, they're out there with their first digital recorder or experiences as experiencing their feelings and seeing how that comes about. To people that have been doing it for 40 years. So we got, you know, audio engineers in our group. We've got medium psychics. We've got a whole mix of range of people. So when we go into an investigation, we feed off of each other. Nice. And it might go in one direction, but suddenly somebody asks a question and it's like, oh, that clicks onto somebody else, or they have a feeling about this. So it makes it really a lot of fun, a lot of interest. That's for sure.
For sure.
It's always good to have a hot spot.
Investigation, so that's even more fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
I'm sorry, Janine. I think I talked over you. What did you say?
I said we actually met Malcolm and Linda while we were on an investigation, which makes it even more fun. They were performing at the location, and then we did the investigation afterwards, and they came upstairs and sort of met us and saw what we did.
Yeah.
Cool.
We were so lucky.
I held the hand of one of the ghosts, and they caught it on the SLS.
Yeah.
Yeah, that SLS camera, I'm not sure about that thing.
All I can tell you is when they were saying you're standing right by it and they said their arm is out, I put my arm out. It felt like static electricity. That was a sensation I got when I put my hand in the area where they said the ghost arm was. So whatever that means, that was my feeling.
Yeah, both Malcolm and Linda are high esteemed mediums. They've got a lot of, I trust their feelings pretty good. And yeah, the SLS, I mean, there's good, there's bad. It all depends about how you use it. Right?
Yeah. You get to know when you've played with it enough, and play might be the right word, is that, you know, if it's by a coat rack, it's going to turn it into a person. Sure as, you know, I'm sitting here. Right. Or if there's a chair, it seems to always put one in a chair. But you get kind of used to those little glitches and things that it does. And when I find it really interesting is when you ask it to do something, what's the little stick man in front of you, and the stick man actually does what you ask. Like you say, knock on a wall, and the thing goes like this, and you're like, okay, that's a little different than you just popping in and out of the screen, right?
Yeah. Or having... Sorry,
I was just kind of wondering about that, because if I'm not mistaken, I think Xbox is the ones, Microsoft is the ones that first came up with it, and they called it the Kinetics or something.
Well,
like that.
Bill Chapman was the first one that came out with it. And then so it was, we've got three SLSs within our team. Two of them are the Kinetic, and one is the Bill Chapman's one. So there's a little bit of difference between the two of them. But I think for me, and again, it's all about opinions and things like that. But if somebody is reacting to you in a room that there's nothing in there, it's a completely bare theater, and it's also reacting in that same area with your other pieces of equipment, then I think you've got some more to it. We've been fortunate at the Stanley Theater is another example where we've had that confirmation, so to speak. At least it gives you more questions as to what is happening with this and why is it reacting. Right. You can, when it's explained, and you know, like looking at the coat rack or anything like that, that's sure. I mean, people that do not have experience using it, for sure.
Yeah. If anybody's listening and they're just wondering how it works, if you think the one we have, the Kinect one, it uses an Xbox camera, and basically the technology or the programming inside that camera is designed so that you would be playing like a sports game, with it, on, you know, on the wall. So it maps out every movement you make with little dots, and it follows you around so you can play tennis or golf or whatever you want to do. So in this case, when we aim that same camera somewhere, it could pick up, say, Paul standing there moving his arm, but when he's the only person in the room and something else comes into the room and you see that same sort of stick man skeleton, that's that same camera picking up that whatever, right? That's kind of like that.
Picking up a secondary
version of how it works, right?
Right. So it's picking up something that's secondary in the room. Correct. That's making movement.
Yeah.
And who's to say that energy or spirits, ghosts, whatever you want to call, doesn't want to manifest in that type of way? I think there's every piece of equipment we use can be torn apart. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Every piece of equipment we use. But I think it's the way you use them and being able to maybe ask more questions about what you're investigating. I think that makes it, real.
Yeah.
Well, I actually had no intention of trying to tear that apart.
Oh no.
I'll give you a better example from my perspective. See, Joe and I have been doing this since 2019. I've been involved in the paranormal since I've been like 15, even younger than that. Because my mom was a sensitive and her grandmother before her and so on and so forth. And then I wound up with some of it and I never got a chance to hone it. And that was because of my ex-wife. She kind of got freaked out about it. So I just kind of shelved it and never did it. But with Joe and I, we're also gamers. We also play games a lot. So the only thing I knew about the SLS or the Kinect was that it was a Microsoft camera and it was used for games.
Right.
So that's where my perspective of it, yeah, of it was coming from. So, but it, you know, getting a better developed
for Hollywood.
Yeah. What's that, Joe?
It was originally developed for Hollywood. Yeah. That's how they did some of the CGI type.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Some of the really cool special effects that we see in the movies today are done with cameras like that.
We
wear the suit and it's got, you know, little dots all.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. We had put, again, in our, we try to make our Facebook page as safe as for everybody, that people can come, share their stories, talk about things, mm-hmm, and not being ridiculed or belittled about anything. Because it's, for a lot of people, it's hard for them to come up and say, geez, I've experienced this in my life. And, you know, how can I? Am I just not all there, you know? So one of the topics came up was on the SLS, and it was an interesting discussion between those for and those that that and against. And it was a really good conversation going back and forth about, you know, I've experienced this with it. And then others would say, well, no, I, you know, your plant is really not a ghost. So it went, things like that really makes it interesting for those that don't understand or don't are starting out again for the first time and just want to be in the, you know, look at things and look at the paranormal.
Yeah.
I think the hardest thing to disprove is EVP. I mean,
I kind of agree with her on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My God, the EVPs we've gotten, and there's no way you can deny that is not your voice. That's somebody else's, mm-hmm, voice. It has a very distinctive sound. There's just no way you can get around that.
Well, my favorite thing is when you have an EVP going and you also have a camera, and the one of the high def cameras going, and you pick up the same sound on each one.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's a great verification that things has happened. And we actually had an investigation where we had two HD cameras and I had my EVP set out and we caught the same sound on both cameras and the EVP.
And it wasn't there during the time? You didn't hear it at the time? No?
I actually heard what sounded like somebody exhaling. Mm-hmm. When I found it on the footage for the camera and I found it on the EVP, it sounded like somebody whistling, and it sounded like they were coming from a different part of the room at the time.
You should talk about, we do a lot of, about 99% of what investigations we do is not residential. So it could be museums, heritage locations, theaters, things like that. Janine, you want to talk about the Kilby?
Okay.
In the we're talking about EVPs.
Historical location. There's an old general store on the main floor, and downstairs they've kind of made it like a little schoolroom. And we were down in that lower area, and it was one of those times when every piece of equipment you have starts going off. Like the K2s were flashing, the REM pods going off, anything that would flash or whistle, it was. And we're checking the wiring to see, like, okay, is there something that's making this do this? And we couldn't find anything. And suddenly it sort of dawned on me, you know what? I think it's a kid. I think this kid is like playing with these toys. He's having a great time. So I changed my line of questioning to, you see what this toy does? You see how it won't hurt you? We don't hear anything at the time, but later on, playing back the audio, this little voice goes, no, just after we had said it, which is just like, okay, now we know that was there. But that's always thrilling when something like that comes up. Right? Yeah.
I love stuff like that.
Yeah.
You absolutely love it when we wind up getting those EVPs. So.
We got to tell you,
but Malcolm.
Linda's 40th birthday, I bought her
Now, don't be fibbing. She can't be 40.
Oh, okay. Sorry, when she was 20. I bought her to do a voice recorder, and as she said, okay, we're going to a cemetery tonight on her birthday at 3 a.m. We went to in White Rock, Vancouver area. There's a
restaurant called the Washington Avenue Grill, but we were actually next door to the Washington Avenue Grill at the Native American Cemetery. It's a tiny little cemetery there. And he was trying to teach me because he's a natural gifted psychic. No,
I would say sensitive. I prefer sensitive.
I'm sensitive. Yeah. We're walking through and he said, okay, do you feel this? It feels like you get butterflies in your stomach. You'll feel this feeling.
You get dizzy.
And then we walked a few paces over and he said, does it feel better here? And I said, yeah, it feels better. And then all of a sudden you distinctly heard a voice say, much better.
Normal voices, and then all of a sudden this voice. So
there was no question
that was something else besides us.
And then we were leaving, and there was an old tree that was kind of spooking me out and was right near the rusty gate that you had to open to leave the cemetery. Mm-hmm. So you hear us open the gate, and this very distinctly native sounding voice says, we did our duty. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
We did our duty.
Yeah.
And the reason that to me is because when I entered the cemetery, I asked for my birthday if they could prove to me that spirits existed. And that's
there
what
you go.
It was amazing.
So they came forward and gave you their proof that they were there.
Now, interesting note, we went back. So that was a few years ago.
Yeah, but
we went back recently and they've gated off the whole, you can't get into the cemetery.
It's locked up.
But we were taking pictures and I was going to put it up on YouTube, which I still may on our YouTube site. We walked back and there was this young native guy in his truck with this older lady. And he said, why are you taking pictures of my family? So we said, oh, okay. We didn't know. We're so sorry. And we told them the whole story. They were so interested. We sent it to him. His aunt was sitting in the van. She said, you know what? When this is all over, I'm going to take you to another of our family's cemetery. And there's a lot of stuff that happens there.
That is awesome. Yeah.
So I have one more story.
Go right ahead. Stories are great.
So we were in Petra, Jordan. And we were coming out to the treasury. So when you're walking to go to the treasury in Jordan, in Petra, there's kind of like this very tight cliff area that you have to walk through.
Looks like the Grand Canyon.
Kind of looks like the Grand Canyon. So we're walking through, and I said to Malcolm, I'm going to videotape us when we first come out into the Grand Canyon.
Not Grand Canyon.
Or sorry, into the treasury. So I'm videotaping it, and there's these three camels. These people on camels go by, and I said something, and this very distinctive voice said, "Assad." And we didn't even listen to this until we came back to Canada, and we were listening with his parents, and we all heard this distinct Assad.
So just this last year. Before they shut down for COVID, a year and a half ago, I guess,
yeah.
We were showing our travel show to Jordan, and one of the ladies there spoke Arabic, and she said, "I know what that word is. That word means to life. It means celebration."
They were saying cheers to us.
Cheers to us.
Cheers.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
We're finding things about our team members that we never knew. Like I said, there's the stories that these two could give you is pretty incredible.
I love stories. I love listening to what everybody has to say.
It's fun.
And that's the kind of attitude I bring out to our investigations too, is I want to hear what, if there is anyone there, what they have to say.
Yeah.
Well, we try again on our Facebook page is we try to talk with different paranormal teams around the world. And a lot of them are, we have quite a few members from the founders of different teams. And for them, we go back and forth about information and things like that. I think that talking about the paranormal is really healthy for everybody. It doesn't matter if you're just starting out or you've been doing it for 50 years. You always learn different things about how to do things. We were talking to a group out of Maine here just the other day, and they've been doing it for about 12 years as a group. And we were comparing how we do in our team, how we do things here, to see how they do things there. And then it's incorporating different aspects of it, right? It's also, you know, use every tool that you got in the kit. It could be flour on the floor. It could be, different old school tricks that to see if you get a reaction or anything like that. So, right. You never know what's going to be the trigger point. It could be something that's of interest to them. We were in the four of us happened to be in the green room of the Stanley Hotel here in Vancouver.
Stanley Theater.
And at very old theater, lots of history with it, and it's different aspects. And we had about a 15-minute K2 interaction question and answer sort of thing that we were witness to. And it all went to, because Malcolm Linda's theater and singing is being part of their part of what they do, it's... We were talking about vaudeville and different aspects and where they come. And it actually formed a little bit of a story for our conversations there. And that, you know, to be there for 15 minutes and have that type of interaction, that was interesting. That was a lot of fun, too.
That was fantastic. Yeah.
So where are you guys located? You're in... That's okay. Where are you located, Mark and Joe?
We both live in Wisconsin. I live to the southern part. He lives more towards the eastern part. He's in a town called Watertown. I'm in a town called Fort Atkinson. What?
Cool. We're jealous.
Joe. What?
Oh. No, nothing. Yeah, I was just going to say where I was from. I mean, he's a transplant, so he wasn't originally from here. He's not originally from Wisconsin.
I'm a transplant.
I was born and raised here. He's from California.
Yeah, I was born and raised in California.
Wow.
And then I met a woman from Wisconsin here when I worked at a lodge in California, where I had a lot of interesting stuff happen there, too. And she moved me out here. And then here it's been almost 9 years now. She walked out on me and didn't even give me an answer why.
It's the ghost.
I don't know. But yeah, she was the reason I never really pursued or kept pursuing my paranormal stuff with the Wicca and stuff like that. She
was a blessing in disguise, Mark.
maybe. I don't know.
You know, Mark, you and I have a similar background. My mom's family were very sensitive to energy and has gone back many generations. And you can choose to find what you're sensing in a Christian point of view or in a, I prefer now to do it in a more open, wider point of view than just the Christianity that I was raised in. And, you know, sometimes I get asked, sorry, go ahead, Mark.
No, I said it sounds familiar. I was born in into a Pentecost family, and I was they made me go to church and everything, and up until I was about 13, then gave me the choice whether I wanted to or not. And I pretty much was like, you know, I think I want to follow my own path, and I did. And you know, I'm not saying that God doesn't exist, and I'm not saying that Satan doesn't exist. I'm just saying that I know there's more to all this belief and things that are out there than what's actually being taught in church.
What I tell, I was brought up black and white. I believe a lot more gray in between.
Yeah,
and that's the thing about within our team is you've got people that believe and you've got people that don't, and so it gives a different viewpoint. When you're going into, for instance, a church, I had to laugh the other when we were doing an investigation at church, and one of our investigators was saying, "Geez, if I took a step into that church, I'm gonna combust." And so, but it gives a whole different perspective as to when you're doing an investigation. And that's another one where we heard church bells and there was no church bells. Wow. So, that was cool.
Or I was saying, give me an amen. And the REM pod went off and I'm like, give me another amen. And it went off again. That was
kind of
cool.
Really?
That's
yeah.
So cool.
Yeah. See, the thing is that we do things, maybe, I don't know how you guys do it, but for us, we won't always go to a place that is quote unquote paranormal. It's got, you know, we've been in locations that's been, you know, stories of paranormal activity and found absolutely nothing. We've also gone into locations where there's no inkling of anything paranormal, nor has there been any stories or anything. And we've come out with some of the best evidence we've ever had. And so that's, I'm not a firm believer in you've got to always investigate the only, you know, the ones where the stories and things like that. Sure. As an investigator, I love to do that. I love to talk to the people and say, can we do something with you? And can we come in and find out for ourselves? We bring them along as part of the adventure, which is, you know, so that if you see or hear something, then they see or hear something. And I think that's validation to we're not just coming to them after and saying, here you go. Here's your evidence. Thanks very much for letting us in. Yeah. We don't charge for it. We don't, it's kind of cool. We do other things too, that like fundraisers, if you want to talk about, Jay.
Yeah. So in a way to pay these people back who invite us into particularly the historical places, we'll say, you know, can we help you raise some money? And sometimes it involves, you know, if they have enough room, they have a dinner for their community, or if they want to invite a limited small gathering to do an evening of ghost hunting upstairs in that building, charging, you know, maybe $10, $20 a head, and then everything goes to that historical society. So that's kind of a way that we'd like to give back for letting us do what we love to do.
Yeah, I can see that.
Great idea.
It is a good idea.
We can also put on the dog and pony show where we can have our equipment out, answer questions and things like that. Mm-hmm. We did that at at the castle, which is was one of our favorite locations. Mm-hmm. And we had six different paranormal rooms set up because there was literally six different areas that were hotspots in that. And, and so we had, you know, Malcolm Linda was one room and Janine was in another room. We had a seance in another room. We had Mel meters and K2s in another room. We had, you know, down in the, in where the, Maestro down where Steven's room was, it was, and also where the jail cells were. Yeah. Then there was another, you know, so everybody could have a different taste of different types of paranormal. And then they could just take a look at the equipment, ask questions, and get a real feel of what a paranormal investigation, or at least get most of that, what it's about. So it, it makes it interesting. It's amazing how much the paranormal is talked about. It's TV shows, podcasts, everything else like that have come out recently or over time, that it doesn't matter what channel you go to, they're going to have some sort of paranormal show on. Now, granted, they've got their own agenda and they've got to make money, and they're taking a week's worth of production into, you know, to make a half an hour show and make it palatable for advertisers and for that channel to continue to run them. We watch and see what type of equipment they have. See what.
What's that? How much does that cost?
Will that work, or does it any good?
Can I get one of those?
And you can research it and say no, that's not really good. Yeah. But it's amazing how much the paranormal has been talked about than ever before, especially now with COVID.
It seems like there's a lot more activity happening now. I kind of have a theory on some of that.
Hey, let's hear it.
Well, have you heard of the Great Awakening?
Yes. Yep.
We know all about it.
Okay.
Hey, gotcha.
I believe that's what's causing a lot of this activity to start ramping up, is the fact that, see, with the Great Awakening, if Paul gave a look like he's not quite sure what it is there.
No, I'm just listening. I take it all in.
With the Great Awakening, this is what I know of it. It's basically all of the younger generation is more open and in tune to the spiritual realms. And the Great Awakening is basically mankind is finally starting to become enlightened and to be able to see what's actually in front of them and not what the oppressors want them to see.
We have to talk later.
How close am I there, Malcolm?
Yeah.
How close am I, Malcolm?
We sang at conferences in California about this particular kind of subject. Yes.
So I had a question for Linda here, because when Paul was mentioning that place that they were, that you guys had the six rooms set up, you went like this and like you're crying. What was that about?
Because it's closed now.
Okay.
So it was a former BC penitentiary built in eight. I wrote notes last night. 1878, closed in 1980, over 102 years. It was turned into the Royal Crown Castle Restaurant. Literally looks like a crown. We loved it. We fell in love with it. We loved performing there. And that's where we met Paul and Cornerstone New Supernatural. So it's a sad story that it's permanently closed, but it started a wonderful friendship.
It did.
It is by far the number one spot for
crazy
us.
Actors, crazy
that
actors
we've come across so far. I mean, there's always more, but I mean, being physically, like, I'm not the one that gets physically touched. We have a couple people in our group that definitely are. We were at a place, Sasquatch Inn, and it was one of our investigators. They went to the room where it was reportedly more activity than anything else. And one investigator sat on the bed. You know, and it's an inn, it's got its own, you know, bathroom and bed and things like that. She sat on the bed and she physically felt somebody grab her around the ankles. And so they come running out of the room, and You know, that was really funny because we're in the hallway just talking about setting up some other things. And you see these two ladies come running down the hallway. It was funny as hell. But not to them. They were definitely spooked. They went back afterwards just do a little bit of check and turn the lights on and everything else like that. And the bed is solid. There's nothing, you know, it's right down to the floor. There's no space underneath the bed. So that made it. And then Glenn. Well,
I guess the question on that one would be, which direction did she feel the hands grab? Were they grabbing from behind or from in front?
Right.
Okay. From behind.
Okay.
From behind. Yeah. So
on the bed, sort of.
Yeah.
So then that would indicate that it could be a possible intelligent hunt from a time when there was a bed frame to where you could crawl under it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, right. That's a possibility. Yeah, that's a but to hear that when again to have interaction with the owners or managers at that time and just get their take on some of the things and some of the stories, that's really cool. We've got, I see the hairy beast behind you, but I mean, in that particular area, Harrison Lake in British Columbia is probably for us in British, it is one of the hot spots for Sasquatch. And the tribe there loves the werewolf.
Bigfoot.
This guy's a werewolf. This guy is my idol. I love the lichen.
They actually will actually look at Sasquatch as a, to them it's their god. You know, and do different things and really get offended by a Sasquatch hunt rather than an investigation, right? But there is a lot of activity around that particular area. So that's something that's on our things to do list.
Yep. Here actually in Wisconsin, close to where I'm at, over the last year, we've had several sightings of what people were describing as a Sasquatch or a Bigfoot.
Well, it gets back to COVID too, right? People are looking for, they're more in tune for their area, but they're also looking for things to do. So they're watching different things, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then...
more cameras. Oh.
My Sasquatches could be interdimensional as well, right?
That's my theory, but I didn't want to go there.
That's one of the theories I hear.
Said that theory.
What's that, Joe?
I said, we like that theory. Yeah, that's the same theory we're on. But, you know, with more people with cameras and stuff nowadays attached to their phones and these little computers so you can take video.
Yeah, like you said, this thing right here.
Yeah.
More people are getting evidence. It's amazing in the last 10, 15 years how much of the paranormal realm has become more acceptable, you know, to say, I've seen it. I've experienced it, you know, to even talk about it in public, you know, for us, it makes our job a little easier because, you know, going into some small towns, you know, depending on where you're at, they'll either talk about or they won't.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
There's no middle ground, right?
We still have that one town that we do still have this one town and we do have to try to find a way to get some people to talk. We want some witnesses. We're working on a documentary that's got to do with that hairy beast behind Mark.
Excellent.
Cool.
Around our area, we've got all kinds of cryptids, you know, probably like you do in Canada. But the two most famous that are close by besides Bigfoot is the Michigan Dogman and the Beast of Bray Road.
Oh my gosh, I've watched shows on that. Fascinating.
Which are supposed to be the same creature.
We are real close to Bray Road. We're not that far from it.
Yeah,
interesting. Very cool.
Exciting.
And I mean, and like you said, Joe, is the with the cameras and you know, people at
cams.
UFOs are coming. Like I've never seen so many clips and comments about UFOs that ever before. That's crazy. I mean, we get stuff all the time saying. Is this something I caught this in my backyard? can you, you know, and we look at it and just, you know, try to prove or disprove accordingly. So, and there's a lot of them that there's not a clue. Malcolm and Linda are probably some great people to talk with about UFOs as well. That's one of their special go-to places.
Yeah, then I got a picture that they would love that I actually took with a cell phone.
Oh, we gotta see that.
Oh, we'd love to see it, yeah.
Linda,
I just got to remember where I put it.
And Mark, you're welcome to post anything on our Facebook page. I mean, for discussion.
Yeah, but I gotta join it first.
Yes, yes, yeah.
You know, I want to go back to, you were talking about like EVPs earlier. Okay, we did go out and finally, you know, we didn't go out much last year. I think we only had, what, maybe two investigations last year during the whole COVID lockdown, which kind of sucks because we're used to going out every weekend, you know. But we went out just this year. We got invited to go. I can't say the exact location, but I'll say it's an old bar that was built in. I mean, the building was around since the 1700s, and current owners saved the building from the demolition ball. Okay, they literally saved it from being demolished. They bought the place for a buck.
Okay.
But they've put over $1 million into the place, okay, trying to restore it. But we got invited to go there to talk to them, hear their story. And then they invited us to take our equipment and go to the top two floors and do some investigation. So besides the owners in this building, and there was two of them, they stayed downstairs on the first floor. And they were pretty much, the one guy was just sitting there watching TV. So there was not a whole lot that he could do to make anything happen, you know. So it was just me, my wife, and Mark. And we were up there with cameras and our equipment, and Mark and my wife were up on the third floor, and I was kind of standing still on the second floor. And I didn't hear it with my normal ears, but when I got back home and I played this footage for Mark off my camera, we both came to the conclusion that...
And we both heard it at the exact same time for the first time.
Right.
Really?
Morse code. And we still haven't cracked the Morse code yet.
That's interesting. I
didn't hear it myself until we played it back on the camera.
Normal. Yeah.
We had the same thing, and we couldn't figure it out. And we tried to get, two of our members are ex-military, too. So we were trying to figure out, we even put it out there to see if any of our members could come across and try to decipher it. And we never could get it done. That's really cool.
Yeah.
That is thing.
It starts out real faint. And then there's a rhythm to it, but it to me, because he used to be in the scouts and I used to be sort of the scouts. It was through the church. But they were called the Christian Pathfinders.
Wow. That is neat.
And so this picture I took, I was actually on my way home. Is this
the one, Marshall?
Yep. This is a cornfield here. This was with the Galaxy S7, or not S7, but S5 that I took this picture with. When I first seen this whole white cloud had a black cloud imposed over it, and I thought it looked really cool because you could see the black cloud and the white cloud behind it peeking out. And that's what I was trying to get. But when I finally got to where I could take the picture, this is all I got. The camera has that little square, that little red square that keeps trying to focus.
Yeah.
It kept trying to focus over this.
Yeah, he'll zoom in on it more.
That is way cool.
Wow. There it is.
That is really cool.
I'm not sure what the heck that is.
Huh.
We're going to have to look at it closer after the show.
Yeah, that looks amazing. Yeah.
We have a friend who's an ex-pilot, and we want to interview him. He worked with Air Canada with the Jazz Airlines through Air Canada, and he studied this, and he's had experiences. he said he purposely saw a cloud that looked like the typical covering that people claim to be UFO clouds. So he took it off autopilot and steered right into the middle of the cloud. Mm-hmm. Guess what? He couldn't. The plane took over. No matter what he did, the plane flew under the cloud. And even though he was trying to go straight through it, as soon as they passed the cloud, the plane went up.
Wow.
So we don't know what that means, but a lot of assumptions.
So it's like autopilot again took over.
Yeah, that is pretty cool, though.
He had that happen a few times, actually.
Yeah.
So it was pretty interesting. So pilots see lots of crazy things, too, right? Of course.
Well, yeah, they've been seeing crazy things for years. I mean, we can go way back.
But here's the biggest problem with airline pilots. They report that, they get grounded.
Yep.
And it's bull that they would do that to them.
Yeah.
Especially if not just one, but two or three actually report it. And they still will ground them.
What's your guys' feelings about, we read different articles and that about the U.S. government is releasing a whole bunch of information about
disclosures.
June, yeah. I mean, what
started on the U.S. government?
Well, you know, but I mean, do you think that's legitimate or do you think that that's just,
I think it's legitimate to a point where they're only releasing enough to keep people quiet.
They're
not releasing everything because a lot of it is still blacked out when they do release some of this stuff, you know. And, you know, I don't think it should be that way, especially when it comes to this. I mean, this is like the world security. That kind of stuff should be, you know, if we're going to get invaded, you know.
We're not going to be invaded. We are actually a protected species.
I get it.
There are nine different.
I keep it a secret.
Alien species,
it's more acceptable
living on this planet besides us.
The information should still be shared from day one with everybody, you know, for our own safety.
Yeah, but we can make our own judgments based on that.
Yeah, you can make your own judgment call based on the evidence.
Yeah.
We have a very, very dear friend.
Oh, dear.
I won't say his name.
Can you preface it, though? We sing at conferences, one UFO conferences in California, Nevada. One of the biggest ones is Contact in the Desert, and unfortunately got canceled last year. This year it's online, virtual. We meet some of the top speakers here. You start to shift them, but you hear all these stories. And we're very much online with hearing disclosure is going to happen is what they're all trying to
do. Well, they say it's happening now
slowly,
already, right? Yeah.
And it's our grandkids when they'll have full disclosure.
Apparently.
Well, here's the thing with it. I believe that our government, with their little bits and pieces that they're throwing out there, it's basically chum in the water to keep us satisfied.
Yeah.
Okay. That's exactly what it is. It's chum in the water to keep our appetites wet and keep us satisfied so we quit asking questions and quit badgering them. But here's the biggest thing. Why is it NASA has absolute great detail of the nearest solar system to us, which is called Alpha Centauri?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's because we have already been there.
Cheers. Yes.
That's a whole other topic.
But yeah, yeah. I mean, when people talk about paranormal or anything, it's usual that people talk, oh, it's got to be ghosts or, you know, entities or anything like that. To me, to us, it's more than that. It's got to be more than that. It's got to be UFOs. It's got to be Sasquatch or, you know, the hairy man or Yeti or however, which depending on the different cultures that you want to talk about, because it all comes together for a reason. There's a reason that we're interested or we're wanting to investigate things like this when it's out there. Okay. Why are we seeing these things? Why are we hearing these things? Why are we seeing pictures of things? And it gets back to your initial comment about, you know, everybody has got the ability to take pictures and video and things like that nowadays. And people are more in tune because they're spending a lot more time at home and things like that, that they're more alive around their surroundings. I got a call from one of our investigators today that she was, you know, at home. She's, you know, the kids were at school and she's got a full scale mirror at the end of her hallway that came from her mother. And this is the day that she passed. And there was a big bang, like right in that area. And nothing can, you know, she went and searched to see if anything had fallen or anything like that. No, but this is the exact day that her mom had passed. So there's interdimensional about mirrors and scything mm-hmm. and things like that. So there's all sorts of different aspects about paranormal that we've only scratched the surface.
Have you guys experienced missing time? Because I experienced missing
yes,
time.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I have. Have you ever experienced the long second?
Yes.
Where the second has lasted like 10?
Yes. So, okay, so this is my story because it's not,
You excited her, Mark.
Oh, Mark. Okay, so way back in the 80s, Niagara Falls. You know, obviously a lot of energy there. Out with three girlfriends. You know, the hair, the heels, the whole bit in Niagara Falls. Anyway, so we're crossing the street and this voice, says to me, and time starts to go like this. It starts to fragment in milliseconds and milliseconds. Yep. And it goes, step off the curb, put your arm out, push the girls back. A car is going to come around the corner. It's going to hit you, but you will be okay. And you will have moved the girls out of the way. And I'm like, and at that point, I lost control of me, mm-hmm. right? And I had no choice. I step off the curb. I go like that. I throw them back. And afterwards, they're like, what the hell were you doing? And they realize what happened. I step off the curb. The car comes over. Boom. Just like whoever told me, I flew back onto the sidewalk, bruised my tailbone. They didn't get hit by that car coming around. And then time started to go back to normal. It's never happened to me again. But it was like millisecond by millisecond by millisecond, something walking me through this. To this day, I don't believe it really was connected to me. It was connected to them. But somehow the message got to me to get them out of the way for whatever their life was supposed to go on and do. Crazy. Yep. How about you? You sound like you had a story like that.
Not quite like that, but I have had experienced long seconds. And it happens frequently for me. I've also experienced deja vu.
Yeah.
Or what they call deja vu.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I believe the way I've experienced it, I believe I've actually changed my timeline.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Because I know what's going to happen and I do something to prevent it from happening.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's awesome.
I mean, there's a lot of, you're talking about different energies and things as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're North America wise, we're generally young. If you look at, you know, going out to Europe and everything else like that, regarding
right.
that.
We're young compared to civilization across the world. Young, but I believe that we've also, this part of the country, our world has been inhabited by, by the early man, like the other was. You know, for civilization the way it is, we're very, very young.
Do you talk about the world being destroyed six times?
No, but I know it has been destroyed at one time, and it's kind of weird that we would be survivors of it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Paul. I didn't mean to.
No. What I was going for is if you look at I was just talking to another group out of Europe and they were talking about the castles and some of the aspects and some of the places that they can mm-hmm. they get access to. And my question to them was, geez, you know, is it a possibility like people can stay in these locations? And that's, I was leading into Malcolm and Linda. I mean, you had surprised Linda by taking her and staying into one of the castle. Which one was that one?
It was called, actually, I looked it up because he says, what do you want to do for your 50th birthday?
30th.
Yeah, 30th. Okay.
Time is going backwards.
Hey, finally. So he said,
long seconds, long seconds.
The most haunted castle, and if you find a castle you want to stay in, we'll go. So I literally pulled up haunted castles in Europe, and the first one to come up was Chillingham Castle in Northumberland, England. So we went and stayed for two nights in Chillingham Castle. It was just before tourist season, so because it was the end of May, and there was nobody else staying in the castle except Malcolm and I. We just had us. The whole castle to ourselves.
That's cool.
Days.
Wow.
With
it was crazy spooky. I mean, we heard ghosts. We heard voices talking when we were there the whole time. We heard furniture being dragged upstairs, but there was no upstairs. The woods around Chillingham Castle are even spookier than the inside of the castle.
They claim there were thousands that were killed because it was the last stronghold of England. So Edward the First, who was known as Longshanks from the movie, because he was tall, he had tortured hundreds, if not thousands, of Scottish prisoners.
Yeah.
And we actually stood over the oubliette where they would cast the bodies.
At 3 o'clock in the morning, drinking wine for my birthday.
Oh, come on. Don't tell Mom.
Yes. No, was it red wine?
Yes, yes, it was. Back in those days, I could drink red wine.
Yeah. You know, in Canada, I had a chance to. Sometimes people say to me, oh, ghosts can't touch you. And I'm like, sometimes.
Mm, yes, they can.
They can. And I've actually physically been choked. The story for mine goes, I was in a touring group across Canada in 1992 called Experience Canada. 125 of us, all across performers, toured across Canada. And one of the places we stayed was in Ottawa, at the Ottawa jail. Now the Ottawa jail is converted into a hostel.
Yeah.
So we stayed there, and I tell you, I didn't sleep. There were two other people on the tour that were sensitive like me. And we ended up splitting up the group, and we ended up going in more into Quebec. That night I had a room by myself. I woke up, I was on the third floor of this hotel kind of thing. I woke up because I heard footsteps on my balcony, and I was lying there going, wait a minute, I'm the third floor, nobody can get to my balcony unless they came through the room. Mm-hmm. So as I'm thinking of this, I hear some footsteps, and next thing I know, I feel somebody on top of me choking me. So I'm physically punching this person, figuring somebody broke in. I feel their face, I'm punching them. They jump off of me, then run towards the door to the hallway. I jump out of bed, run after them. They go straight through the door. So, a little shocked. I open the door, look up and down the hallway, nobody. The next day, I was like, okay, was it a dream? That one of the girls that was sensitive like me, I asked her, I said, something happened to me last night. Did something happen to you? She said, yes. And it goes back to that. She fell asleep dreaming back. She was back at that the hostel, which was the old prison where they hung several people. Mm-hmm. She said she woke up and she said there were three ghosts in her room, and she could hear them stomping around her room, terrorizing her. She heard them on her balcony, and then she thought, oh, wait a minute, Malcolm can deal with spirits. Malcolm, I need help. This
and,
is before I told
them to him.
She sent it to you.
She said
that's exactly what happened. She sent it to you.
That was a nice gift, honey.
Well, it's proof. I love healthy skepticism. I love that. Please, let's see if there's a logical explanation. The fact that she had the same story that corroborated my story was proof for me, my ego.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Do you find, Mark and Joe, do you find, do you get a lot of physical contact in your neck of the woods as well? I mean, I know that for us, we've got, besides Malcolm, we've got Glenn. He's like our, if anything's going to be touched, felt, scratched, It's him. He's like a magnet. It's crazy. In fact, he got scratched at the castle, which is another story. But do you guys have that there or no?
Well, we had gotten contacted once by a friend of ours that wanted us to investigate their house because they just bought it. And it was a very old house. The land and the small town had a lot of dark history, and he was worried, I guess was the best way to put about it. But he said that he was felt like he was getting touched, scratched, all kinds of things, because whatever it was tormenting him.
Mm-hmm. No, that's, yeah. I mean, it's again, it's sort of like, it's interesting to see what brought that on, or what, you know, why was that happening to him? Was it something, was it the land? I mean, we find that out a lot is it might be a brand new building, but we walk in and find do some history on it, and you'll find out that, my God, this place was a cemetery at one time or something like that.
Their house is it's a fairly old house, and it's about 2.5 blocks away from a cemetery and right across the street from a church.
Can I tell a story about a church?
Go ahead.
I have a story. So about 2.5 years ago, Malcolm and I decided to go to Mexico for a little getaway vacation. And me being the type of person I am, we got to Mexico. We actually got to Cancun. And he's like, oh, good. Now we can relax. We can just lay low. Nothing.
That's not Linda.
Okay, that lasted one day.
Wrong answer.
And then I'm like, okay, this is super boring. What can we do now? So I said, how about we rent a car and we're just going to drive around all of Mexico. So the first town we went to, I won't name the name of the town. Yeah, so I'm trying to remember the name. I actually can't remember the name of the town. He's going to think of the name of the town. So anyway, we pulled up into this hacienda. We found this hacienda online.
500 years old.
Like a 500-year-old hacienda. So we checked in and...
Valladolid.
Something like that. There was this beautiful hacienda right outside of Valladolid. So we couldn't afford to stay in the actual castle, but we got to stay in one of the little cabins that was off the castle, because to stay in the castle was like 500 US a night. We just couldn't afford that. So we stayed in a $100 bungalow. But anyway, we went out for dinner. We went on a tour. We came back. It was about 12 o'clock at night. And because this is a hacienda, they always have a church on the property.
It's like a small village.
It's a small village, right? So most of the people were Roman Catholic 500 years ago. Or they, you know, they had to convert to becoming Roman Catholic.
Another story.
I got a beer, and we're walking in to check out the church. And of course, the church is always open. So it's 12 o'clock at night. I've got my beer. I come up to the door, and something said to me, "Put your beer down." And I was like, "Well, oh my gosh! Of course, I'm walking to a church." So I put the beer down, and I walked in, and it was pitch black in this church. This is the scariest place that I've ever been to. So, walk in, and I'm thinking it's a church, right? It's a church. I had no qualms about it, no fears, no nothing. Walk in, I get about halfway into the church, and I literally had to turn around and run back out. And then I thought to myself, well, that's ridiculous. Why am I so scared of this church? It was so weird. So Malcolm walks in. And as soon as we both get about halfway in, we could feel this crazy wind blowing around us.
There was a whirlwind blowing inside the church, at the front of the church. I went straight to kneel down. I didn't feel threatened, but I felt stuck. It didn't feel good. I went forward. They had the place where you can kneel and pray. I knelt, and I could feel anger, hurt. We're talking about land. And I think part of it was mixed up with nature spirits too.
Yeah.
But it felt
very aggressive.
And immediately I felt I need to go to my heart. And I went to my heart and just sent love. And I said, I'm so sorry. Anything I can do. And I just sent love. And I was about there a half an hour. And the wind then died down. And I wish we caught on video the actual, it was a wind inside the church. was crazy, but it finally died down.
I literally was, I couldn't sleep for the night, and everything he would say to me, I would jump out of my skin. So it was just too scary. And the next day he's like, let's go back in. I'm like,
no. Been there, done that.
Yeah. Been there, done that. Yeah.
Well, it's just like when you've seen the monks at the man with the iron mask.
Yeah, in Marguerite, St. Marguerite in France, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And we were going, we had, there was an Order of the Silence monks there, and we sort of stumbled in on him, and I'm not sure if you're supposed to do that, but we couldn't go, we were there
when they came in, and we're like, uh-oh, we're here now.
And the only time we knew how to get up and get down is because there was somebody behind us that actually knew what the hell was going on. So when they stood up, we stood up. When they sat down, we sat down. But afterwards, we went to this castle where literally the man with the iron mask was
imprisoned, I guess is a better word. Yeah.
And walking through, Janine says, just keep on walking, just keep on walking. I couldn't understand what the hell she was talking about. So we just kept on walking and going. At the end, I'm like, what was all about? She says, well, we walked through and I could actually see monks in gowns at different places within this tower. So whether or not that was from some of the people that maybe passed from the island, or maybe it was from the Silent Monk Order or whatever, but you know, it's really unique, as you never know when you're going to find or hear or see or do something. It's like being like objects. Yeah. That's another thing I find a lot of is, it might not be the place that's haunted, but something that's attached to an object. Mm-hmm. We did an investigation at a location in Lower Mainland that he's a collector of all sorts of different objects. And he'll, like, if a historical building's being torn down or renovated or something like that, he'll go in and he'll try to bring out certain things. There was two particular items that stood out for me is the old school heavy radiators, right? The big iron things. He had just got them out of this place, and there was a lot of tragedy in this place, but they weren't connected to anything. And we kept on getting K2 hits off of these units. And then I got a call, and then I got come here, Paul, and you got to see this. And we went down one of the thing, and here's one of the investigators with a K2 in front of some china of anything.
Wow.
And it's reacting to the china. Nothing else anywhere in there would do this. And no, it wasn't cell phones or anything like that. But
and nothing behind the wall?
No, this was the wall was here, and this was on a shelf in front of, and there was a good 3-4 feet between that. So more than enough space for to say that it's not something in the wall or anything like that, or in the, because we went downstairs, there's nothing underneath but china. So obviously that meant to something, and there was energy around that mm-hmm. particular china at that particular time.
Of course.
Cool. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So I have to ask everybody, what's the most haunted place you've ever been to?
Joe. Well, for us too, it's the castle.
Or Kilby
is another one. Yeah.
Kilby, okay.
Yeah.
Well, Joe, you going to answer her?
We've had some activities, but I don't think of anything that I would call the most haunted place yet. But, you know,
active is better.
I think the thing that really got me was when we did that first private investigation. At that house, and then later we got invited back to that same town to do an investigation at an arts mill. So I believe that whole town has got activity.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's got something to do with the town, what happened back in the 1700s and 1800s, because it was a lumber mill sitting right next. It was a lumber mill. It was basically a logging. Mm-hmm. They used the river that was close by.
So water, was there granite involved too? Like, I mean, that's another conductive.
I believe it is sitting on granite.
Yeah.
And possibly limestone.
So those are like, you know, it's like a a magnet for energy. Exactly. For sure.
Well, you got, you know, with granite, you have it. You have tons of crystal inside granite.
But then
tons of quartz.
But I'd be torn because.
And then limestone has its own properties too that will call and store energy as well.
See, I'd be torn between those two places in that town and this small little farm in Elkhorn, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I mean, we were just going down to this little farm to investigate the Beast of Bray Road. All right. When we got there, we got a lot more than what we bargained for.
Yeah, there's
okay, we're not done with that stuff happening yet. We're not done there. This place requires
if we come to Wisconsin, you're going to take us there, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, let us know in advance. We'll get a hold of the owner and make sure we can, and we'll
take you out there. We have plans to go back. We're not done. We weren't prepared when we went down there to interview this guy for
8 hours. We've got
eight hours of footage. Wow. Just interviewing him and listening to his stories and looking at his casts and pictures and just hearing what he had to say. We weren't prepared for him to say, you guys want to pitch a tent and spend the night? Well, we didn't bring our trail cams with us. Some of the equipment, there's so much equipment for this.
Oh, yeah.
That we left some of it behind because we weren't expecting to do an overnight. This was just supposed to be a quick 2-hour day trip to interview this
day dude. Trip, meet and greet, interview him, and then
kind of arrange just something walk around the land a little bit. But when we got there, we found out that it's been dubbed by somebody else. It's kind of like the Midwest versions of the Skinwalker Ranch.
Wow.
Yeah. Because of the activity.
You said the right thing.
when we go off the air, we'll show you some pictures.
Yeah.
You know.
Now I'll answer Linda now.
Okay. But,
go ahead. See,
I've been involved with the paranormal for quite a while. So Joe and I have only been doing this since 2019. I've been involved with doing stuff like this way back when I was younger. And the place that I would have to say was the most haunted for me is Kingston Park in Layton, California. It's a fairly good-sized park that sits right along the Kings River.
Okay.
And I don't know, my intuitions or you know, being some sensitive and having a spirit guiding me and everything tells me that at one time before the land was settled by like the Easter or Westerners like we are, that it was an Indian encampment there. And you can go in there 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, you know, and just horse around in there or whatever, and you'll find shadow people.
Wow.
You'll find imps.
Wow.
Whoa.
The time when I was doing it and over in there with friends and stuff, they had trees that were only about yay big around.
Okay.
And there is one particular what I guess could be considered a shadow person, but it was completely white. Looked like a humanoid, and it was literally hiding behind trees that were that size.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're there.
Was that in Northern California?
It's central. It's central California.
When they give us our get out of jail card from Canada,
we're going there. So the reason
this is some stuff that I have experienced and seen. Wow. I have also, by the way, I also know that demons are real.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason I know this, I have had confrontations with them. And I used to date a woman when I was younger who was Hispanic, and she was also known as a brujo. And she played a lot with the darks, and she brought them into our lives.
Wow.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Wow.
You know, I'm going to throw in, I think the most haunted place I've ever been to is here in Vancouver, called it's the like word the
Riverview.
Riverview.
Riverview Hospital.
Vancouver, known as Hollywood North. I worked in film and television for 20 years. And we would film a lot in Riverview. And I remember, you know, I would tell stories to people there and they're like, yeah, whatever. I actually found this doorway, literally a doorway in Riverview. So it's the old psych ward where, I mean, Riverview films there. Riverdale
right.
Films there. There's a connection.
Supernatural did a lot there.
Yes. Yeah, lots of movies have been filmed there, TV shows. But literally when I was wandering around in between takes, I walked into this doorway and it literally felt like I walked into this. There was no mistaking. There's a feeling of nasty, negative spirits. So I walked out, immediately went away. So yeah. I started sending crew and other people working, going, okay, you don't believe any of this stuff. I want you to walk through that doorway and tell me what you feel. Every single person felt something.
Yeah,
I love it when everybody feels something. So,
yeah. Well, yeah, that means there's a lot of energy there.
Glenn from our team too is he does a lot of he's in the film and television industry too. So, during breaks he does his own. He takes his some equipment that he can sort of smuggle in, and then he'll walk through and do the tunnel. And you two should have a real good conversation about that look, because he's and it's unfortunate because there's a lot of locations that you either get by word of mouth or recommended, or just by researching out and finding out about them and or talking to different people, but there, and some of them you'll have to you got to go through the different, I'm telling the stories, but you guys do the same thing, is you have to go through certain aspects in order. It sometimes takes 2 or 3 years to get into location. Some of them, like Riverview, love to get in there. And the unfortunate thing is you've got to carry a $5 million liability insurance.
Oh.
You also got to pay in order to get in there, and it's high. It's around $3,000 or $4,000. But on top of that, you've got to give them an exact detail of why and what you're going to be doing in there. So if you say, I'm going to be a paranormal investigator, and they'll unfortunately they'll shut you down. But yeah. If you say, I'm going to, film a movie about the supernatural, come on in. So it's a whole different, different thing, but there's places that some of the buildings there are going to be repurposed, and that's going to be an interesting, an interesting thing. I mean, when they did when they tore down the penitentiary, and it was huge. They took all of that land and built condos on it. So there's right across the ravine from there is the actual cemetery where the prisoners that died are buried, but there's only numbered tombstones. There's nothing, no names, no nothing. So unless you can't, you don't know who's buried there. And some of those have actually fell into that, over time have fallen into the ravine.
I'm not sure I'd want to buy a condo on that property.
There's a lot of places there.
It's
a lot of condos.
That lives in those condos around there, when we were singing there, we never asked them if they'd had any experiences there.
Yeah.
We should have asked them,
by the
right?
Royal Crown Castle. Well,
yeah. And there's not that far. There's the New Westminster Cemetery that's right there, which is very, very, it's so big. It's on two sides of the, it's on both sides of the road.
I actually worked on there filming on top of that cemetery for Police Academy, the TV series. It was filmed in where the penitentiary was originally.
Wow. Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. In your neck of the woods, do they do you just pop in on somebody? Do they come to you? How does it work for you guys?
Well, let's see. We've had people come to us. We basically had to, people recommend this place or that place. There's places that do tours where you can pay to get into them, but I'm a little skeptic on some of those because of technology and the way things are. You know, it's easy to scam somebody.
Yep.
You know, and Wisconsin is known as a tourist state because of the Dells. Because of Wisconsin Dells, it's known as a tourist state. So it's a big tourist attraction and a tourist trap. It has been all my life. Back in the 70s, it was more towards kids and a little bit of observing the Wisconsin Dells history and the Native American history, because you had trading posts, you had some of the Native Americans doing their dances. You had a German shepherd that would jump across this cliff. You had all kinds of cool things back then, but it's all gone. It's one big tourist trap.
Are you finding in the paranormal that more and more, like you're saying, more and more places are actually charging for people to come in and do an investigation at their place? I mean, we're fortunate that we haven't come across that yet, but I could see it down the road that some places, especially if different teams have come in, it gets to the point. You have to be careful as to what place you talk about, because then they get inundated with calls from other paranormal teams saying, hey, I want to come in and do that. Well, and they actually get turned off by that.
A lot of the places, there are places that charge, but they are reasonable because they're trying to preserve the history in the building.
Perfect.
So the money goes for that.
Yeah.
Okay. So those places are legit. But then there's other places, you got to kind of weed them out. Use a little bit of common sense and weed some of them out. There are a few of them. Nobody should do that, Tom.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be charging residents to come in. Nobody should be charging,
100% agree.
Really?
100%. Yeah.
We don't charge for anything we do. You know that, Tom.
Tom, we don't.
We know Tom. He helped us get our
stuff. Unless we're fundraising, then different thing.
Well, that's different.
Well, that's different. That's different. Totally different.
Yeah. I mean, we had a group on last week that is all about fundraising. And they're called Paranormal Kicks Cancer. Yeah. They raise money for local charities or local kids to help pay medical bills for kids that have cancer.
Oh, that's
excellent.
That's a terrible disease, you know.
That's excellent. Yeah.
So, and they want to try to take that nationwide.
Yeah.
We're hoping they come here so we can get with them on that one, because I had cancer. I'm a survivor.
Good for you. Good for you.
That's another story. But, we see that. We haven't gone to any of these places. They charge for ghost tours, tell you the stories. So you're paying for the stories to see the locations. But then there's the other places that are just, that are famous, that you got to kind of convince them that you're not going to do anything wrong. Mm-hmm. Or they need to see the footage first, or they'd like to have a copy of the footage when you're done, or the evidence.
Which that is something we try to do, by the way. Anytime we do an investigation, we try to provide a copy of what we have.
Oh, yeah. And that's one of the things I said. It's about inviting the people along, because mm-hmm. then they actually see what we do and actually take part of it.
Right.
We were talking about places that that charge. We've got a castle here on Vancouver Island that had people come in and do paranormal investigations. They were, positive and actually would let you come in and do an investigation. The problem is that one team went in there and damaged some of the historical items in there.
What?
So,
a team I would actually black flag and blacklist. I would never let them do an investigation ever again.
Yeah. No, then that castle basically shut the door. to any investigations. Now, when I get over there, we're going to have a talk, because I don't think that, you know, if we can convince them that we're not that, we're not them.
Not that irresponsible.
Yeah. You know, it's because, but people are that way and disrespectful to spirits, entities, ghosts, whatever, of who's there. So it makes it difficult for even the people that are there when they're stirring the pot, right?
Yeah. There was a similar incident here like that happened that I heard about. And we were trying to get into this place where I actually had to go through to a realtor to get the contact info. Oh. And because the building was up for sale. But I talked to the owner, and she was real hesitant to even talk to me because they had so many bad experiences with paranormal people coming into the place. But it got to the point where, because of some of the stuff that was happening to them at the time, they were getting ready to close and sell the building and stuff. But it was all about the building. And I don't even know if it still exists, because we never got a chance to talk to her because she was so hesitant. And when I was trying to communicate with her to try to set up a time to get out there, and it wasn't too far a jog from where we were, she just stopped communicating with me after a while.
Well, I mean, that's the same thing too, is people will, you know, other paranormal teams will go in, and we've run across this. They'll do their investigation, and they're asked by the client or the location, I don't want this to get out to anything. Right. And then they find out that, you know, within a week or something like that, they're being shared on social media. So it makes it, like, again, it shuts it down for everybody else that's going into that or trying to get into that location. But like you said, the trust is gone.
Yeah, we let them know that we put this out there on YouTube before we go in and film. Yeah. So we let them
know. And if they don't want it out there, we don't put it out there.
And if they, yeah, we did. We held on to some footage. We weren't able to talk about it unless we were going to keep it a secret of the location, you know. And then all of a sudden it was like, what, 3-4 months later, all of a sudden we got permission to talk about it more and to put the video and the footage out there. But it's what we didn't get, which was interesting.
Yeah. You know, this goes we consider three is the one where it's between you and us. It doesn't go anywhere else.
Right.
Second one would be, okay, we've caught this picture, we've got this audio clip, and they'll allow us to post it as long as it does give a reference in any way as to where we were.
Right.
The picture doesn't show the sign Bill's Diner or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And then the third one is basically a free-for-all. We embrace it, share it on your media, we'll share it on ours. Let's talk about it further. And so we've got to be respectful of that. Unfortunately, it happens. And you probably got it in your neck of the woods, just like we do. There is teams out there that just don't go for that, doesn't follow those type of rules.
No, because they're trying to get famous.
Yeah, exactly. They just want their little 15 minutes of fame where we want answers.
Well, guys,
we're looking for answers. You know, the questions that we
got it.
You know, the other thing that kind of ticks me off is when people tag some of those places in nature that are just publicized for being. We've got a place called the Devil's Punch Bowl, and I went out there during the day one day, just to kind of take a look around and get a feel for the place, and see if it requires further investigation and to go back with more equipment. And we did this last year, and I couldn't believe when I got there how much of it was tagged by people, you know, with their graffiti all over the place. Oh, God. Even if it's not enchanted like it's supposed to be, it's supposed to be an enchanted place, gnomes, fairies, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That's one of those places that should just be left alone because it's just beautiful. It was built by nature and should have just been left alone, you know. and pictures taken that day.
Yep.
Yeah. It irritates me when yeah. people do that.
Yeah, we're getting to that. Yeah, we're over the time limit. So.
Okay. Well, we don't really have a time limit. We just try to stay within an hour, but we get in talks like this where it just goes and goes and goes, and it's awesome because I love yeah. talking to other crews, and I love talking to people like you guys. You're awesome to talk with.
Well, thank you. We appreciate you having us. I mean, it's
no, I appreciate you being here. And like Joe said, if you want to stick around for a couple, couple minutes after, we'll show you some pictures.
Sounds like a plan.
Let's say goodbye to your viewers there too. Daryl and yes. Michelle and Tom.
I appreciate everybody watching. Phillip, and thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Now, is there anything that you guys, any like websites or anything you want to plug before we go?
You've got the tag on the bottom. That's one thing. But I think the best way is join our Facebook page. It's private. So, but just answer a couple questions and as long as you're not a troll, we'll let you in.
Talk about
everything there. I think that's probably the best way to share share your stories and come on board and ask your questions. I think it's good. Yeah. That's the easiest way.
I do go by the name Trollman.
I was just gonna say, that was his gamer tag. I was going to say that's it. I was.
Oh wow!
Thanks
for that.
Heads up.
And then for us, next Friday is going to be our last talk series, and we're going to be getting back to
doing some investigations.
Doing some investigations if we can. We got to get back to Bray Road.
We look forward to it. I mean, share away. We'd love.
Yeah,
to
Yeah, we've also got an invitation to go out looking for Bigfoot.
Oh yeah,
so that's going to be fun too. That's an invitation from a past guest. That's
excellent.
Looking forward to doing. And next Wednesday we'll be on to tell you more about what's going to be happening with us. And next Friday's our, like I said, it's going to be our last guest. It's Drew North Paranormal. Will be with us.
Oh yeah.
Say hello to them. They're just up the road. They're good people.
Yeah.
So that's one of the teams that we'll work with.
All right. So thanks all for watching.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
For joining us, guys.
Stay safe. Thank you. Anything possible.